And so as women, something that we do, and I was guilty of this for such a long time, is we focus so much on the aesthetics and the number on the scale and the size of, like, on the tags, right? We focus on, like, all these different things that actually don't matter. Like, who cares if you're a medium or a large or an extra large? What matters is how you feel in your body.
Welcome to the Unbaked Podcast. We're your hosts, Caitlin.
And I'm Sarah.
In this podcast, two best friends get together to share our own recipes of life, having relationships, and everything in between.
Join us while we share with you our take of the definition of unbaked. Hello!
Hello, guys! Happy Wednesday!
We cannot wait for you guys to hear what we're about to, or who we're about to introduce. Without further ado,
let's get in with the podcast.
Let's just start. This is Monica.
My name is Monica Eva, and I am a hormone nutritionist, expert, and educator. And I help women rebalance their hormones so that they can release weight and regain energy. I also certify health coaches in holistic hormone coaching.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about what you do. Mm-hmm. And we have like a few questions that we want to ask you. I did some like research in the last few days and I was like, okay, these are the ones I want to ask because this is all totally up my alley and I'm super excited to be talking to you today. So thanks again for coming on.
Yeah.
So let's just jump right into things. I'll ask you just how did you get into this? Like what inspired you? Like when did it happen? Yeah.
For sure. So it was actually my own healing journey that brought me onto this path. And it's like a very long story. So I'm not going to get into the long version. I'll just give you the short version. But basically, I had struggled with weight for quite some time, despite exercising, eating healthy, like doing all the things that you think would help in weight loss. And just, the weight wasn't coming off. And so I tried harder and harder. And eventually what happened was I started to have very low energy and intense fatigue. Headaches, migraines started coming on, and I just didn't feel good in my body. I would go to doctors, I was referred to specialists, I literally went and tried and saw everyone under the moon. Nobody could help me. Basically, every single doctor, every single specialist, even naturopath said, like, there's not really anything that's coming up in your blood work, everything is fine. And so, you know, continue trying all these different things, but I knew that there had to be something. I wasn't really the type of person just to feel low or feel down or not have the energy to do things. Like I always like to be go, go, go. And so I ended up enrolling in holistic nutrition school, partially because it was like a long time interest of mine, but the other part of it was also to help me figure out what was happening in my body. Like I knew that there had to be something that I wasn't doing or something that someone had missed. And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was in a lecture course that I was sitting in. It was like a 4 lecture course where my professor had listed out all these different symptoms. And I thought, oh my God, he's talking about me. And he basically said, like, these are symptoms of a hormone imbalance. And this light bulb went off in my head thinking, that's what it is. It's my hormones. And nobody's checking my hormones because I'm a 24-year-old that doesn't have issues with her menstrual cycle so much, right? So why would they look at my hormones? And so I just started diving deeper into reading more about hormones, looking. I just became obsessed with everything hormones. And believe it or not, like after a year of implementing and researching, all the symptoms started to disappear. It was like the weight melted off. I lost 30 pounds in 1 year and I've kept it off since. And it was just remarkable. People were asking me, what are you doing? Like, what's the secret? And I thought, it's really just hacking the hormone balance that was missing in my body. And so I ended up getting further certifications in hormones, and I continued my studies, and I ended up leaving a legal career to pursue this full time because so many women need this help, and it's not something that their doctor is offering.
It's not. Like, that's the thing I've struggled with, is like, why aren't us as women more educated in our hormones? Why does it take us learning on our own and trying to figure it out for us to be like, oh, that's why this is going on, right? And I'm just starting to learn now, and it's like a really cool journey to like learn more about myself in each phase. And we'll kind of get into that too, because I have like questions and stuff to ask you about that. But yeah, like, it's really, really like amazing once you can get a hold of it. So I can see why, you know, and like, it's such a gift to be able to like get that knowledge and then share it with the world. So that's super awesome.
It's remarkable what happens when you balance your hormones. And, you know, you're right. You're 100% right. This is information that every woman should know. Why they don't teach this in school, I have no idea. Like, I think this would be a much better way to spend like the sex ed classes, like learning about hormones and what happens and the different fluctuations, than some of the other stuff they're teaching these days, right? But I mean, I'm not in charge of that. The thing is like, the onus really is on us to learn this. And it's a shame that it's like this, but this is kind of like the cards that we've been dealt with. So you just got to roll with it. And I think what we can do is empower ourselves by knowing that, hey, no one's going to teach this to us. We have to go look for this info ourselves, but know that what we learn is truly going to help us like thrive in life.
Yeah. And it's going to like allow us to be like the best versions that we can be. And, you know, I feel like I really hope that a lot of our listeners can like really, really take everything that they're about to learn in, because it's life-changing once you get a hold of your hormones. And I'm not even there yet, but let me tell you, the tiniest little action, it makes a big difference. So so I'm gonna kind of start by where should I go here.
there's so many questions.
Well, let's just start with a basic question. So what are some, and I saw this actually on your Instagram, so I would like you to maybe to hear what you have to say about this again. So what are some red flags that women probably ignore when it comes to our bodies?
Oh my gosh, there's so many, but I can tell you like the very common ones. Number one, energy levels. For some reason, women think it's normal to feel tired. They think it's normal to wake up, feel exhausted, drag their feet through the day, fuel on caffeine. Like, I really want to say that if you wake up on most days and you think, I need coffee to get through this day, it's time we start looking into what's going on with your hormones, because that's not normal. Like, I love a good cappuccino, don't get me wrong, but I don't depend on it to get me through the day. So I want to say that that's like the number one thing. The other thing too is if you feel like you're struggling with your weight, but you don't really see why you should be, because you're exercising, like you're putting in effort, you're eating healthy, you know, whether you're like in a caloric deficit or not, like at the end of the day, if you're fueling your food and you're not overeating, you shouldn't be gaining weight or really struggling to lose. So I feel like that is definitely another big red flag, that women sometimes think that they need to go find a better personal trainer, or they need to start like a bigger caloric deficit, or start tracking macros, or get tighter with that. Well, that's not really it. You don't need another diet. What you need to do is figure out what's going on with your hormones, get them in line so that the weight can actually come off, and like fix your metabolism that way. Another very big telltale sign is mood. Having mood swings before your period, not really normal. Like, it's normal to feel like, oh, my period's coming, I don't really feel like doing all these social things. But snapping on your boyfriend or your parents or your friends or your siblings, or feeling like I hate the world and falling into like these low moods, or like whether it's depression or experiencing anxiety, that's not normal. Right? We need to stop normalizing these things, because it's definitely not normal. It's a very big red flag. Having a lowered libido also. Sometimes women think that, you know, it's just because I'm tired or I'm stressed out. And like, yes, you know, energy levels, of course, are going to impact your libido. But if you feel like this day in and day out, that it's definitely your body telling you like, hey, we're prioritizing our energy somewhere else because there's something going on here. So it's a good idea to look into it. into your hormones and see what's going on. I want to say definitely, like, so I mentioned the PMS, but even having uncomfortable periods, that is also a telltale sign that something's going on with hormones. So a lot of times for women, they think that, you know, living off Advil for a week or needing to have like a heating pad on is normal. It's not. As society, we've accepted it as the norm, but it is not normal. So that's definitely a telltale sign that like, hey, your hormones need some support. There's definitely like an imbalance there. And so I want to say that those are like the big ones. There's obviously a lot of other ones and I go into them, but those are like the main one.
Yeah, I really like that you said that it's not normal to have a painful period. That people need to stop normalizing painful periods because there is ways around that. And I love that you said that. I guess like a good question too is like how to fix irregular periods, like steps to take in the right direction to kind of, if maybe people feel like either they are having painful periods, you know, what you could offer a suggestion to help, or like if their periods are irregular as well as painful, like what is some tips or suggestions you have to like starting the whole journey of finding, getting regular and figuring it all out?
Yeah. For sure. So the number one thing that I recommend everyone do is if you are identifying with these hormone imbalance symptoms, we need to figure out which hormones are imbalanced because that's going to dictate what you're going to do. And I feel like so many women are like, what's the shortcut? Like, tell me what food to eat, what supplements to take. I wish there was like a shortcut to this, but there isn't, because depending on what's going on with your hormones, what's imbalanced, what's too high, too low, that's going to dictate what we need to do. But I can say this, in general, reducing inflammatory foods in your diet will reduce stress in the body, which is going to reduce the burden on your hormones. So for instance, like if you're always going through the drive-through for breakfast and, you know, there's chips with lunch or, and I'm not like hating on any of these foods, totally okay to eat them. But if they're making up like your diet from day in and day out and you're struggling with these things, it's contributing to more of that that hormone imbalance in your body, like this hormone havoc that I call. And so what we want to do is reduce that stress on the body. So reduce it in terms of the inflammatory foods that you're eating in general. Just cut out the stress in your life, whatever it is that you can do. Sometimes it's hard to get rid of bills and maybe get rid of some people that causes stress. But what we can do is teach our body that it's safe. So we can take some time away from the things that stress us out and do more things that bring us joy. Want to make sure that we are hydrating ourselves. We want to make sure that we're getting all the nutrients in. So important. We want to make sure that there's regular movement, right? So you don't have to join like a boot camp or go all out in terms of your exercise, but every one of us should be walking 30 minutes every day and moving our body and not just living a sedentary lifestyle. That's going to make a huge difference. And then in terms of identifying your hormone imbalances, it's sometimes, and I want to say like the majority of the time, it's not enough for you just to go to your doctor and say, hey, do I have a hormone imbalance? Because if a 24-year-old, let's say like I was 24 when I asked my doctor to test my hormones, they were like, they looked at me like I was crazy. Like, why? Oh, because you have to take an Advil for your PMS or, you know, you have cramps. Like, that's not normal. You're tired. That's not a hormone imbalance. They deal with things that are like a lot more severe symptoms, things that need either medication or surgery. And so this is why I utilize saliva hormone testing in my practice, as well as dried urine testing, because we want to measure the bioavailable hormones, meaning the hormones that are available in the body. And so when it comes to your question, I'm going to answer it now, when you said about like having crampy periods or like very painful periods, lots of cramps. There is likely two different scenarios or three different scenarios that are happening. Your progesterone's either too low because it can't counter the estrogen hormone. So estrogen tells our body to grow. It tells the uterine lining to grow. It has a very anabolic effect. Progesterone comes in and says, hey, stop growing. And it has this catabolic effect more so where it like counters the estrogen so that you end up having the bleed because it sheds the uterine lining that's not being used for pregnancy. And so we need to have a balance of the two. So if your progesterone's too low, there is not enough to counter the estrogen. Or some women have healthy levels of progesterone, but their estrogen is way too high, right? So in that case, or it could be both, where progesterone's low and estrogen's too high. So those are like three different things that could be happening. Now, depending on which one of these you have, there's different things that we're going to implement in you, right? Maybe we'll get you on a supplement that helps boost natural progesterone levels. Maybe we're going to do some liver support to help your body metabolize and get rid of the excess estrogens, and so on and so forth. And then in women who don't have regular periods or they're just very irregular, it could also be that testosterone is an issue in them. And so it could be low testosterone, high testosterone. It could be low estrogen or high estrogen. It could be so many different variables where there isn't a way for us to say, well, if you have these symptoms, then it's this hormone imbalance. And it's never, like, I want to say, I shouldn't say never, but the majority of the time, it's not just one hormone imbalance that women have. They usually come in pairs or trios. So then we're adding layers to that hormone picture that's happening in the body. And so this is why I always say, don't guess, you got to test.
That can go both ways for like anything. Yeah. Don't guess.
You got to test.
You should just test.
Do you want to tell us a bit more about your, what was it called? The saliva testing?
Yeah, that's really cool. Yes, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, I would like to know more about that.
For sure. So the saliva hormone test, what it does is you spit into a tube, we send off your saliva samples to a lab, and the lab analyzes and measures the levels of bioavailable hormones. So the difference, a lot of people don't know this, but you know, hormones, there's different ways of measuring hormones, and bioavailable hormones, basically all it means are hormones that are free in the body. They're not bound to any protein. So your body is able to utilize them. So hormones are chemical messengers. And basically what they do is they attach themselves to cells in the body and tell the cells, like, go do your job. And we have so many cells in the body and they all do different things, right? We have like metabolism cells, like all these like body regulating temperature cells, like all these different types of cells. When we have hormones in the body that are attached to proteins, they are basically, they're not available to be used by the body until that protein detaches itself. And so in blood, what's being measured is that total hormone. So the free hormone, as well as the hormone that's bound to protein. So this is why sometimes women end up going to their doctor and say, I have all these symptoms, like what's going on? And the doctor says, oh, but everything's fine. Your hormones are like within the right levels, but they're not measuring bioavailable hormones. So saliva is very sensitive in terms of finding these hormone imbalances in the body. So that's why we utilize it. It's a very non-invasive way of testing hormones because you literally just collect your spit. Send it off, the lab assesses it, we see what's going on, and then we can get you on a customized hormone balancing protocol so you can get rid of the symptoms that you're struggling with.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this isn't way more popular, because I bet like 90% of women on this earth have hormone imbalances or just issues. Totally. Like you were saying in the beginning of this podcast, you're like, oh, we've normalized painful periods. And it's like, well, when you think about it, lots of people have painful periods, so I can't imagine how imbalanced their hormones are.
Right? Yeah. And like so many people wake up and they're exhausted and they think it's normal.
I'm one of them.
Right? And it's like you think going through, you know, whether you're going through the Starbucks drive-through or going through Tim Hortons, you feel like that's all normal. And I get it, but at the same time, it's like you shouldn't be feeling that way.
Yeah, and like I definitely think that it's an industry, right? Like the hormonal birth control and things like that. We have such power in our own bodies, and yet our doctors unfortunately want to take a little bit of advantage of us. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you know what? You don't need to do that, or you go on this or that, and then you're like, well, is it really helping me, or is it masking what I need to heal?
Yeah, it's just disregarding it pretty much. Like that's kind of how we feel, right?
Yeah.
Ironically, with birth control, you hear all these like horror stories of people coming off it after like 10 years and how just absolutely messed up their bodies feel and were because of how much it irregulated everything.
Right. Well, the birth control pill, what a lot of women don't know, and I feel like more and more people are talking about it, we're trying to make some noise, like my colleagues and I. But the birth control pill, it doesn't regulate or balance hormones. That is the biggest misconception out there. What it does is it shuts your hormones down. So you're basically taking chemicals that mimic hormones, but they're not your hormone. And so it tricks your body into no longer producing its own hormones. This is how pregnancy is prevented, because you stop making progesterone. And if you're not making progesterone, you can't get pregnant, right? So this is the idea. You basically turn off your progesterone hormone, and sometimes it'll also affect your estrogen hormone as well. And so what I think we sometimes don't realize is by doing so, like, these hormones are so powerful. They have such protective characteristics in us that I'm never shocked that when women come off the birth control pill, they're like, whoa, why is my face breaking out in acne? Why do I feel like a basket case? Why do I feel like my hair is falling out? All these different things, or I'm gaining weight, right? All these different things start happening because your body's like, whoa, wait a second. We don't make our own hormones because we've been tricked into thinking that there's enough hormone in the body, in the blood. And now we're no longer getting that external source of hormones. And so now we got to turn online, but we haven't been not working for like the past 10 years or so. So now you got to give us a little bit of time to warm up and start producing again, right? So this is what happens. And then on top of that, the birth control pill also depletes so many nutrients in our body that our body's like, okay, now to start producing these hormones, I feel like I don't have enough nutrients to make what you need me to make. So you got to start feeding me with some stuff. And the thing is a lot of women don't have this education. It's not their fault because no one's telling them this. But what they don't realize is they now need to start getting more nutrients in the body so that the hormones can come back online a lot faster.
Yeah, like I've been off birth control for quite a few years now, but I went on it for about 3 years. It's a normalized thing, right? And it's like, oh, go on it and you're good, right? But it really did mess me up, you know, and to the point where I felt like I was still recovering many years later. And I think that's why now I'm on my journey of everything. Is it true that you don't actually ovulate when you're on the birth control pill?
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't even have that whole phase of ovulation, which is the best phase, realist. Like, you know, like you feel the best, you're glowing. Like that's the, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Over time, right? Yeah. So you don't like, it's not like you take the birth control pill and right away you don't ovulate. It takes a little bit of time to build up, but that's the part of shutting off your hormones. Progesterone severely gets depleted. A lot of birth control pills have progestin in it, which is that it's not progesterone, but it mimics progesterone in the body. And that's why your body gets tricked into no longer producing a progesterone. And if we think about what happens in ovulation, your progesterone's peaking. It's your pregnancy hormone. It's the hormone that allows you to get pregnant, right? And so this is the idea behind birth control pill. And that's why the ovulation stops.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. Is there anything for people who, like, do you have any alternative forms of, like, birth control for people who don't want to be on birth control and they feel like, but they still want to be safe, obviously, and, you know, have that? Is there anything you can suggest?
For sure. So, number one, condoms. Like, why do people, like, no longer want to use condoms? I don't get it. But condoms are a great way to start while you're getting comfortable with the fertility awareness method. And so this is something that I teach my clients inside the Balanced Body Method. And I think I'm going to have an upcoming masterclass on it as well, because I do feel like women need to learn this stuff. But basically, it's you becoming more in tune with your body and recognizing when you are ovulating, so that you either abstain from intercourse during that time, or you like double and triple up on protection so that it doesn't happen. So this, that pregnancy doesn't occur.
Right. Okay. Yes. I love learning about like each phase. Like and there's this, I don't know if you've ever heard of this app, but it's called 28 and it's a wellness app. And it basically like shows each phase that you're in, and it tells you like how you're going to be feeling, like what, you know, I'm sure you could also elaborate on like certain foods and things like around each stage of your cycle. And yeah, what's good for you and what's not good for you during that time. But So what style of diet / food lifestyle do you recommend people to eat?
Definitely whole foods based. There is no one size fits all. I very much, when balancing hormones, I help my clients reduce stress in the body. Part of reducing stress is getting rid of those inflammatory foods we were talking about. So like the common inflammatory foods, and these are foods that basically cause inflammation in everyone. So you don't have to like 1000% remove them out of your diet, but you want to make sure that they're not making the majority of your diet, right? So you can still enjoy them like here and there sparingly, but you're not having them every single day, 3 times a day. So this is gluten, more so processed wheat is an issue for a lot of people, not just women, men as well. Dairy, especially the processed dairy. So with dairy, it's like hit or miss. Some people don't do well on it. Others are fine. It really depends on the individual. But I would say in the beginning, like just cut it out for 90 days, see how you feel, introduce it, and you'll know. Sugar, especially refined sugar. So I'm talking table sugar, brown sugar, any syrups like brown rice syrup, like high fructose corn syrup, glucose, fructose, like any of that stuff, right? That we usually find in things that we love, like chocolate bars and cakes and all that stuff. But there's healthy alternatives that you can have. And then alcohol is definitely inflammatory for everyone, right? So I always say have that in moderation if you have it. But the other, oh, and hydrogenated oils are also an issue, like canola oil, things like this, because they're highly inflammatory. But the other side of inflammatory foods is that each of us has unique inflammatory triggers, meaning foods that cause inflammation in us. So you might have something that you eat that causes inflammation in you. Someone else might have an inflammatory response to something else. And so what I really help my clients do is discover their unique inflammatory triggers. So we do this in a couple of ways. We either do like an elimination diet of a sort, like my own little spin on it, or we can run food sensitivity testing. Now, I'm not 100% behind food sensitivity testing because it does have some drawbacks to it. In the US, they have access to a mediator release test, which is a lot more accurate, I think, than just like regular finger prick food sensitivity testing. But at the same time, I say some info is better than no info, right? So really like understanding what foods promote inflammation in you and then doing the work to heal your gut so that these foods don't cause inflammation in you. Because at the end of the day, it's not that specific food that's the problem. It's really our gut that needs the support.
Yeah, like gut health is very important. And I'm really grateful to have learned a lot of this like when from a young age from my mom. But then I think like, you know, when you move out and you're like not sure how to even meal prep or do any of that stuff, right? So yeah, no, I thank you for answering that. I really liked your what you had to say there. I saw an Instagram post that you had done, and it was like kind of like a little like quote you had said like on a video, and it said when you focus on weight loss versus when you focus on your hormones, and then it like showed like your journey and stuff. And I really liked the way you worded that. I thought that was very like powerful, and I was wondering, do you want to elaborate more on the verses there?
Sure. So the whole idea behind focusing on weight loss versus hormones comes from this understanding that weight loss can only happen when hormones are balanced. And so as women, something that we do, and I was guilty of this for such a long time, is we focus so much on the aesthetics and the number on the scale and the size of like on the tags, right? We focus on like all these different things that actually don't matter. Like who cares if you're a medium or a large or an extra large? What matters is how you feel in your body. And so like with that being said, the idea is that we need to stop obsessing over the number on the scale. And because sometimes even though we're like, okay, we're on this weight loss journey, we think about calories, but then we're missing out on thinking about nutrients, maybe we'll skip out on nutrient dense foods because let's say an avocado has way too many calories and we're not allotting ourselves that much, right? Like if you were to eat an entire avocado, you're like, oh my God, that's more than I wanted to eat for breakfast, period. And what about the toast and the eggs and whatever else you want to have? And so for a long, long time, I just had to almost brainwash myself into being like, you know, Monica, just stay the course. Stop focusing on the things that don't matter, that the diet industry, sometimes in like sometimes even in the health industry and so on and so forth, dictate to us like this is what matters, like calories and macros and these kinds of workouts. And instead, focus on what your body needs. Once you focus on what your body needs and you give your body what it needs, your metabolism runs so much faster, you have so much more energy, you feel so much better. And you know what? You stop obsessing about the weight to the point that the weight just melts off because you're no longer creating all this stress in you into, because you're not no longer thinking like, oh my gosh, when's the weight gonna come off? What, like, why am I not seeing any progress, right? Like we stress ourselves out about that. So that was really like the inspiration of that post.
I love that. I was wondering also, do you want to tell us a bit? I was also looking into it and I'm considering this. It's my birthday soon, so I'm hoping to get some, maybe some birthday cash and then I can do this. But your 14-day program, and I saw that it was on like on a little sale right now. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. So 14-day holistic weight loss, it is like a great place for anyone to get started. The idea behind the program is just to really help you start learning about the healing power of food and how it affects everything in your body, from your metabolism to your hormones, to your mood, to your energy levels. And when I started out this program, it was really as a way to introduce women into a different way of approaching weight loss. Because all the stuff that's out there talks about calories and portion control and tracking macros and do this exercise and, you know, all these things where we lose the touch towards into what actually matters, which is how you nourish yourself, how you rest and recover, and just overall how you treat your body. And so inside of 14-day holistic weight loss, we go over the, the foundational pillars of what we need to achieve that weight loss. And this is why it's called holistic, because we're encompassing everything. So it's, we look at reducing inflammation. We look at balancing hormones. We look at supporting the liver as well as supporting the gut. And so it teaches you about all those four different pillars. It gives you actionable steps for you to take so that you can start seeing the results. And I think the best part about it is that it comes with, like I've already lost track how many meal plans you get, but you get so many fun and delicious recipes so that you never feel like you're stuck or you're not sure what to do. Or because really like the idea is that food is what's going to heal us. And if we can change our nutrition and kind of tweak our mindset around the things that we need to do, this is when progress sets in. This is when weight loss can happen.
I love those four pillars. That's what kind of like drew me to it. I was like, oh, that is so cool to be able to learn that and like learn how to use like that, the program to your advantage too, because those are things that you'll take with you for life. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I have a question from one of our listeners, and she was actually on a couple podcasts ago. She's like a confidence and empowerment coach, and her name is Carrie, and she asked a question for you. So I'm going to read it now. So for our hormone cycle, how many days are each part of the cycle, and how does it affect our energy? Like kind of, I guess, what we talked about, but do you want to go into a little more detail about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the question is more so around like cycle syncing maybe. And so basically there's four phases in our cycle, right? A lot of times, and I do this too, I always refer to two phases, the luteal phase and the follicular phase, but there's actually four phases. So the first phase, which is day one of our cycle, is the menstrual phase. Now this phase depends on the individual, because some women have a menstrual phase that lasts I don't know, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, sometimes the last 7 days. It really depends. But it's when we menstruate, right? So for instance, let's say that the cycle, that menstrual phase lasts between 5 to 7 days, like on average. So it's from day one to day 5 or 7. Now, during this time, it is very common to want to feel more inward, where you don't really want to go out and be social. You kind of want to like snuggle on the couch, watch a little bit of Netflix, maybe take a bubble bath. Like, it's all about like resting, reflecting, like you're recharging. You probably want to do very gentle exercises around this time, right? So like walking is good, stretching, yoga, nothing that's going to exert yourself. You probably feel like, I actually don't have the energy to do all this stuff. I just want to kind of be with myself. So because of like this lower energy that we have, we also want to eat foods that are very easy for us to digest. It's not probably going to be a time where you're like, oh, let me eat all this steak. But if you feel like you want a steak, like enjoy it. It really just depends on you. The next phase is the follicular phase. So this is around like, so the first day after your cycle ends till about day 14 or so. This is a part of the phase where you're more into like thinking, like brainstorming, initiating, and like getting things done. You're like, all right, let's do it, right? During this part of the phase, I would say you have more energy. So you can totally like challenge yourself a little bit more, whether it's you want to like amp up the cardio a little bit, or you want to hit your workouts a little harder. You'll see that you have a lot more energy than you did during the menstrual phase. And so what you really want to like eat during this time is more like very fresh foods. Definitely have more iron rich foods, because if you think about it, like you just lost all this iron with your menstrual bleed. So like this would probably be a good time to have like steak. I would say even like liver, beef liver, chicken liver is also a great thing to add into the diet around this time. And you can totally have some extra carbs if you want, because you're going to need the carbs for your ovulation phase. So the ovulatory phase is next. So for the majority of women, this is around day 15, if they have a regular cycle, right? Once we get into cycle irregularities, then this day's kind of going to be different. But it usually only lasts anywhere from like 2 to 3 days. Some women, it only lasts one day. So it really depends on you. And this is where the fertility awareness method really helps, because it'll help you track your ovulation and you'll know exactly how long you ovulate for. When you're in your ovulatory phase, this is the phase where you feel like a social butterfly. Like you communicate so much better. You'll find that your words just roll off your tongue with so much ease. You probably want to collaborate more with people. You want to expand and receive, and you might even find that you're more creative. So this is why a lot of times when, you know, you were mentioning like when your progesterone peaks, like when you're ovulating, it's the best part of your cycle, because truly like you feel like a sexy little babe, right? You're like, all right, let's get stuff done. And so you have a lot of energy. So I would say like, go for whatever it is that you feel like doing. Whether it's, you know, like smashing a good workout, like you'll see that this is like your prime energy levels. You definitely during the ovulation phase want to eat a lot of raw vegetables and raw fruit, because it's going to help you metabolize the estrogen as it peaks. So flax seeds are also great for you to incorporate. You think about more fiber, really. That's where we're getting at. We want to make sure that we're eating a lot more fiber during this phase, just so that we can deal with the excess estrogen that's going to hit. And then we enter the last phase, which is the luteal phase. So this is around, like, I guess, whenever you're not ovulating. So for some women, it's around day 16, day 17, until the last day before you get your bleed again. So during the luteal phase, you still have good energy, I would say. Like towards the end of the luteal phase, you'll see that energy starts to dwindle a little bit. But for the most part, like you have really great focus, really good detail. You like to get stuff done around this time. So you could, like, strength training is a really great time to do in the luteal phase where you want to lift heavy weights. But I would say, like, the closer you get to your menstrual phase, you want to lay off of that. And then in terms of nutrition, basically just like eat to keep blood sugars balanced. You might find that you're a little bit hungrier. Like a lot of women say, like, oh, the week before my period, like I just want a big bowl of pasta, right? Like you're definitely craving more calories or just more nutrients. And the reason for that is because your body's preparing for that menstrual cycle. You're going to use up a lot of energy to shed that uterine lining.
I always realize that before my period comes, I just want to eat so much. And it's funny that you say that. And I know it's like a popular thing, but yeah, it's true. You just want to eat everything.
That's normal. So that is the thing that's normalized and also normal. So this is why what I recommend is like, so when I said like, think about balancing blood sugar, because a lot of times we're like, oh, we want something carby. Like we want cake, we want pasta. Make sure you're balancing out with protein and fiber. So you're not just eating naked carbs, because you'll see you keep doing that over time, it's going to affect like PMS and the way you feel in your body when you do have your menstrual cycle. So I just thought I'd add that in.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I could see that for sure. I was going to ask, like, do you, like, what all do you know about blood sugars? Because that's something that is new to me that I'm learning more about. Do you have any tips or suggestions or any information on our blood sugars? Because they are so, so important. And I feel like, yeah, I've been going through a journey with that. And even as far as like learning that blue light affects blood sugars and things like that. Do you want to kind of elaborate on that?
For sure. So your blood sugar is so important when it comes to hormone balance. So insulin is our blood sugar regulating hormone. And I refer to our cortisol and insulin as the tier one hormones, meaning that we want to make sure that these two hormones are balanced because they have a domino effect on all the other hormones in our body. So when it comes to regulating blood sugar, a big part of it is also regulating our cortisol. So for instance, you mentioned the blue light. The reason why blue light has such an effect on our blood sugar is because it's stimulating. It dysregulates our cortisol. When cortisol is dysregulated, it's going to call on insulin. This is why a lot of times when we're stressed out, some of us stress eat, right? We're like, oh my gosh, I just want like a chocolate bar or a cookie. We're looking for something, because what's happening is we're feeling stressed and the body's thinking, ooh, we're in this fight or flight mode. We're going to have to react to something. So we're going to need energy. So it's preparing in anticipation that it's going to need energy. And this is why sugar cravings happen. But in terms of regulating blood sugar, like apart from managing stress and supporting cortisol, I would say eating balanced meals is incredibly important. And what I mean by balanced meals is making sure that you're consuming protein, fiber, and fat. So where you get the protein, fiber, and fat from doesn't really matter. There's obviously some options are better and healthier than others. But you want to make sure that there's ample protein, fiber, and fat. So a lot of times fiber, you can get it from like whole grain carbohydrates, complex carbohydrates. It's great. Vegetables have a ton of fiber. Fats, we want healthy fats, things like avocado, olive oil, coconut oil, nuts and seeds, even nut and seed butters. I would even say like butter and cheese would count as a fat as well if you can tolerate dairy. And then protein, lean proteins are best, right? But we want to make sure that we are having meals that cover all three of these macronutrients. The other thing you want to do is you don't want to skip meals. We sometimes, especially women that are, you know, not even about like weight loss. Sometimes it's just more so we're so busy. We're like, go, go, go. You run from one place to another. You're like, oh, I'll eat later. And then it doesn't happen. And then by the time you're done your day, you're like, oh my gosh, it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. And the only thing I ate was like a light little breakfast and I'm starving now. That is probably one of the worst things you can do for your blood sugar. So I recommend to my clients who really need that blood sugar support is getting them on a schedule where they eat every 2 to 3 hours. If you have blood sugar issues, you are not a candidate for intermittent fasting. Like forget it for a while, right? give your body the food, train it so that it knows like, hey, I'm going to feed you and I'm going to feed you regularly and you're going to get really good food. And over time, what happens is you'll see that you can go longer and longer without eating because your body feels safe and satiated and the metabolism's working a little bit differently. The other thing that I want to say about blood sugar is also making sure that you're watching the amount of sugar you are consuming. So everyone can have like a little treat, right? But I don't know if you've ever heard of the glycemic index. The glycemic index measures the amount of sugar in a serving and the effects that it has on increasing our blood sugar levels. And so if you're looking to balance your blood sugar, I would say to stick to the low and moderate blood sugar foods. Low glycemic foods. And then you can still have the high glycemic foods, but you probably don't want to eat them all by themselves. You should pair that with a fat or a protein to like really slow down that glucose release, that blood sugar release. And the inflammatory foods and discovering your unique inflammatory triggers has a huge impact on your blood sugar as well. Because think about any time there's inflammation in the body, that's going to increase cortisol. When cortisol is increased, that's going to call on that blood sugar. So just really covering all those bases is what I would recommend.
Yeah. So yeah. You're really speaking to me. About a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, I'm trying to remember exactly, but I was told I have insulin resistance. So, and within doing research, my sister also insulin resistance, and we also have blood sugar issues. And so this is like actually like last week my sister and I were sitting down and she was basically telling me bits of what you're telling me, and that's even more confirmation. Honestly, I love that. And it is true how much that impacts. It's like the domino effect of it all, right? And yeah, that's just crazy. Well, that's all the questions I have, but I'm really glad that I loved that last question because that was like the cherry on top. I'm really happy that we talked about that and how important that is. The question I was going to ask you kind of a bit about any other programs and stuff like that. Do you have anything else you want to say for our listeners? Like what other kind of services? Yeah. What do you provide?
For sure. So there is like the self-guided program, like I said, 14-day holistic weight loss. There's saliva hormone testing and results reading. So that includes a 1-hour one-on-one with me. That is for really the woman who's like, I'm suspecting a hormone imbalance, but I'm not ready to fully commit into a program. I more so want to identify my hormone imbalances, get a customized hormone balancing protocol, and let me see if I can implement things on my own, right? They don't really need the accountability. They just want to give it a try. And then I am known for my signature hormone balancing and holistic weight loss program, the Balanced Body Method. I've actually helped over 1,000 women rebalance their hormones within that program. And it's just an incredible program because you get to work one-on-one with me over 3 months. We run all of the full functional testing. So we run the saliva hormone testing. We run dried urine testing. There's going to be some exciting changes or additions more so to the Balanced Body Method coming. And it's really that program is for the woman who just wants like that VIP treatment, wants to me in her world throughout her entire hormone balancing journey so that she can release the weight, regain energy, her libido, her confidence, and just get back to feeling really good in her body inside out.
Wonderful. Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you so, so, so much for coming today and talking to us. And I feel super inspired and I've learned a lot. And thanks, yeah. Caitlin, for just the, yeah, I know she was like doing her thing, but I know she was listening. That was awesome. She was here. Yeah, thank you so much. And we're going to tag you and put your Instagram and everything in our post coming up for Wednesday's episode. And yeah, any last things you want to say?
Just, you know, thank you so very much for allowing me to come on your platform and to share my expertise and knowledge. And I really just, you know, my mission is just to spread this awareness because I wish that I had someone like me back when I was struggling. And so I just want you guys to know that my DMs are always open. You have any questions, just reach out. I'm more than happy to help and just at least like even just direct you onto the right path so you don't end up doing the wrong things.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I really, really appreciate everything. Thank you guys so much for listening. We cannot wait for you to hear next week's episode now. Tune in next week for us talking about some cool cards that we got. We'll just leave it at that.
Some cool cards.
All right. Well, have a great day and peace, love, lip gloss.
Peace, love, lip gloss.
Bye.